Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Blue Shirt Banter Radio. My name is Jim Schmiedeberg. I'm your host this evening. And as always, I am joined by my co-host, Joe Fortunato. Joe, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Using a little new setup here tonight. I'm actually calling in through Skype. How does the audio sound? Does it sound okay?
It sounds just as good as before.
Okay, good. I'm on a different new headset tonight, a little bit of an upgrade, so I was hoping that it'll sound all right. Hopefully my internet connection will hold up, and hopefully Skype won't drop the call, and I'll be able to stay online. So we got a lot of stuff to get to tonight, and we want to kind of set the parameters for the show here. We'll do that at the top. We're going to talk a little bit about Ranger news. Some stuff's gone on over the last week, and a few things that we didn't get to cover last week. We'll try and go over those as well. And then, as we promised, at around 8:15 or so, we're going to kind of set up a little roundtable of a few of our friends, the Mouth, and we're going to be also joined by Steve from NewYorkRangersCast.com. And what we're going to do is, after last week having talked to Adam Rader and Russ Cullen about the 100 Ranger Greats book that's coming out, we kind of got into a little bit of it on Mouth's show last week, some of the not-so-greats, some of the guys that didn't do well when they played for the Rangers, some of the obscure names, some of the guys that maybe you just didn't like when they came to play for the Rangers for whatever reason. So when we get into that around 8:15, that's what we want to hear from you guys. Some of the worst Rangers that have ever played ever worn the blue shirt, or just some obscure names. I've got a few good ones, I think, that I'm gonna throw out at you guys in a little while.
Or if it was just
Me too. I'm looking forward to it. I think a lot of people are. Or if there was just a guy that played for the Rangers that you couldn't stand him, let us know and tell us why. Now, there's only two rules. One, when we're talking about worst Rangers of all time, don't call up and say Wade Redden, because first of all it's too easy and it's too fresh. Second of all, if you want to talk about a guy that played for the Rangers that you hate, no Brashear, because we could do that all night long. So we'll save that for another conversation. So anyway, let's get started. A couple of things happening over the last couple of weeks. The Rangers came to terms with Enver Leesen, the winger that they traded from the Coyotes. He was signed the other day. I don't think the terms have been disclosed as of yet. I went looking again this afternoon. I still didn't see them. So I think whatever the terms are, that we don't know as of yet. So I'm glad to see they got him signed. Because you know about him possibly bolting for the KHL, and so it looks like we're going to see him on Broadway come October. I don't know your thoughts on it. I'm pretty excited. I think the guy's got some talent that the Rangers can hopefully tap into. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I'm really happy that they got him signed. And another main reason why I'm glad they got him signed is because I would have been pretty pissed if, say, they traded away Korpikoski and then lost Lissen to a flight, you know, to a KHL flight risk. Then you trade Korpikoski for nothing. And, you know, we got back a guy with more. He'll put up better numbers. He had about 0.47 points a game in the NHL last year. He had, like, 21 points in almost 50 games. So it will definitely be interesting to see what he does on Broadway. But I'm glad he's here. And if nothing else, this just means no more Zhirdev because, you know, as people have been talking about on the site, there is no room for him.
It doesn't look that way. And on the subject of Lauri Korpikoski, he did sign a two-year deal with the Coyotes. So as of right now, everybody's happy. The Rangers are happy. Their AAA team in Phoenix is happy. They've got the men they wanted, and they've got them signed under contract and ready to go for training camp, which is, what do we got, about 7 weeks to go, I think, until training camp, 7 to 8 weeks. So
Less than 2 months.
Got to love it. And let's see, the Rangers, they also made a trade, I believe, late last week. Just a minor deal. They traded defenseman Brian Fahey, who was in Hartford, for Nigel Williams. Now, it's just a minor deal, but on the surface, to me, it looks like a good deal, only because the Rangers got rid of a journeyman minor leaguer, Joe, and got a young prospect, a guy that a second-round pick for the Avalanche in 2006. He was originally projected to go in the first round. He's been a 20 to 30 point man in the OHL, and you know, possibly, you know, the Rangers are stockpiling defensemen, and that could be a precursor to a trade. We don't know, but they've certainly got a young stable of defensemen on the way. And Nigel Williams played for the it was Brian Fahey, played for the Atlantic City Boardwalk Bullies of the ECHL, no longer in existence. I think about 3 years ago they went defunct. What are your thoughts on this trade?
Well, I mean, again, we're calling it currently a minor deal, but I think at the end of the day, this might turn out to be another one of Sather's brilliant moves. Something that goes unnoticed with this deal is that Fahey was 28, and Williams, the kid the Rangers got back, was 21. So not only did Colorado trade one of their top defensive prospects, by the way, according to Hockey's Future, but they traded away him for a 7-year-older career AHLer. And, I don't see what Glenn Sather did. Maybe he pulled on Colorado's arm a little bit, but whatever happened, I think, again, the Rangers got the better end of the deal. And, yes, I think that they might be stockpiling defensemen for a trade because now we have, you know, McDonough came in, now Williams is here. I mean, we got a lot of different guys who can do a lot of different things, and it just seems to me like there's another log jam that has to be taken care of.
Yeah, I can't help but think that the stockpiling of defensemen, we may see a few of them weeded out in a trade sometime soon, but that remains to be seen. Let me ask you a question on the subject of a trade. It seems to be that the biggest concern among Ranger fans, there seems to be a debate on as far as the number one center goes. Should the Rangers make a trade for a number one center? Should the Rangers stick with Dubinsky and give him the shot? Personally, I think they should stick with Dubinsky, not make a trade, not take on any more salary, stick with Dubinsky, and if it doesn't work out, somebody's going to be available during the season. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that sentiment that if the Rangers should stay pat, and if they do, Dubinsky should be given the number one center job. The only problem I see, and I know we've touched on this a little bit, but it hasn't really been said in the open because it's kind of scary, is that Dubinsky should be signed by now. And to me, him not being signed, you know, Ryan said this could be a trade. Maybe Sather's dangling Dubinsky. I don't know. But it should not take this long to get a 1-year contract banged out with Dubinsky. It really shouldn't. And it kind of worries me that he's not signed yet. I mean, Sather seemed willing to give up Dubinsky and not willing to give up Callahan in the Heatley trade. So you know, it's not impossible that Dubinsky is on the market.
Oh, I agree. I'm not terribly concerned yet that Dubinsky isn't signed. Not yet. If another couple of weeks goes by and we're sitting here on a Wednesday night doing the show talking about Brandon Dubinsky not being signed, then at that point, yes, I'm going to be concerned. I'm not worried about it yet. It's only July 22nd, and I think there's still plenty of time. It doesn't sound like there's any hard feelings on either side. We're not hearing, you know, Brandon Dubinsky's upset because the Rangers haven't made him an offer. We're not hearing any stories like that. So, like I said, I'm not going to get too upset about it yet. But I do hope that they give Dubinsky every opportunity to be the number one center and give him the chance to prove that he can't be. That's the way I look at it. Once the season starts and the league starts separating from the Habs, the contenders and the pretenders, centers will be available. I don't think Richards from Dallas is an answer at all. I don't want anything to do with him. I say just stand pat and let's wait it out, see what happens. Give Dubinsky the opportunity. Let's get him signed, and I think they'll be fine.
Yeah, go ahead.
I'm sorry? You broke up a little bit there, Jeff.
Oh, yeah, sorry. What I was going to say is that if the Rangers do sign Dubinsky and he isn't the number one center, I think that there's going to be a lot of problems because, I mean, if they take Dubinsky, everyone is under the assumption that Anisimov is going to make the team this year. So if they take on Dubinsky and then they get another center, who do you push down? Does Anisimov not make the team? Does the trade for Boyle from the LA Kings mean nothing? You know what I mean? Something has to give. So I'm under the assumption that Sather is going to let Dubinsky take this number one job, and until he loses it.
Not only that, but I think as far as Anisimov and some of the other younger players go, I think Ranger fans in general have the mentality that despite the fact that we keep hearing that youth will be served come the 2009-2010 season, I think we're all waiting for that other shoe to drop and for that 37-year-old center to come walking through the door, whoever he might be, who's going to take a spot from a young guy. So I'm really hoping that that the Rangers are serious. And, you know, for each one of those, you know, each one of these moves that, like you said, that means a spot for a younger guy. And I'd like to see as many of the kids as possible get every opportunity to make the team. Also, you know, we didn't talk about it at all last week, but it bears mentioning. Mike Sullivan was added to the Ranger coaching staff. That was kind of the worst kept secret in hockey. He'd been with Tortorella before in Tampa. And everybody kind of expected him to come on board with the Rangers, and now he has. And for those of you that don't know, I actually didn't know this until I did some reading up on Sullivan. He was a Ranger draft pick, fourth round pick in 1987. He never played for them. He wound up playing for a couple other teams. He had a 10 or 11 year career, and he was head coach of the Bruins for a while. He was Tortorella's assistant in Tampa, and he was also he was an assistant coach with the U.S. men's team at the 2007 World Championships in Russia, and he served as an assistant for the men's Olympic team at the 2008 Olympics in Torino. So Torts has his guy on the bench, and I think I don't think there'll be a change in goaltending coach. He's expected to be Benoit Allaire, and I think the coaching staff is set. Tortorella said he likes only one assistant on the bench. So it looks like Sullivan will be the guy. We have one call on hold. Just going to ask you to hang in there for another minute. Just want to get any other thoughts on Sullivan from you, Joe?
Well, I think that it's really good that they're putting Tortorella back into his comfort zone. I think he was a little bit uncomfortable last year with the way that things were going on the team because the ring was not a full clean house, even though he removed some of the coaches. He still did not have Mike Sullivan on hand, and I think he's going to be a lot more comfortable now. Mike Sullivan knows John Tortorella to the point where Mike Sullivan had a clause that opted him out of his contract with Tampa Bay if Tortorella were to ever sign anywhere else that would allow him to move to that team. So they know each other very well. They know what they're doing, and, you know, if there's one man to enforce John Tortorella's, you know, kick you in the ass, punch you in the mouth, make sure you do what you know you have to do and you don't complain, and this we're not going to be soft anymore mentality. It's Mike Sullivan, and I mean, if you're going to give Tortorella a chance to prosper with the New York Rangers, you need to give him, you know, every opportunity, and Mike Sullivan is one of those opportunities that, you know, I mean, this really isn't a surprise. Like you said, we speculated this from when Tom Rennie was fired, but it's good. I'm glad the move happened, and I think that they're going to be a very good tandem for hopefully years to come, because I'd love to see them do some damage.
I agree. And, you know, it also it had to be a little uncomfortable for Tortorella after he took over as Rangers coach, because his assistant coach was Jim Schoenfeld, and, you know, he's also Tortorella's boss. You know, so that had to be a little uncomfortable. And that goes for pretty much any sport. When a new coach is hired who's coached somewhere else, the first thing they want to do is bring in the guys that they're comfortable with. You know, you look at a guy like Bill Parcells. Everywhere he went, he had a few coaches that he'd always take with him, you know, to a new job. And you see it in baseball and pretty much all the sports. All right, so why don't we take a couple of calls, and just to remind you guys, we're gonna at around 8:15 we're gonna start the discussion on some of the Ranger names from the past, the infamous names, the not so greats, guys you hated. So let's hold off on those calls until then. If you guys want to talk about the moves that have been made or whatever's going on with the Rangers now, we'll get you guys on the air and we'll talk to you. Again, the call-in number is 646-478-4692. You're listening to Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. I see you guys are all taking up chatting in the chat room. That's good. And, you know, real quick, they're talking about this in the chat room, and this came – somebody posted this in one of the discussions today, Joe. Jeremy Roenick made a comment to the Arizona Republic, and it was just an off-the-wall comment talking about Chris Chelios, and he said Chris Chelios wants to play till he's 50, he wants to go to New York, he wants to be a Ranger, and he wants to play for Glenn Sather. And of course now, you know, people are running with it, and God help us, that is the last. I'm sorry, Chris Chelios, you've had a wonderful career, you've got your rings, you've done so much, and please stay away from New York. You are not what we need at all.
I agree, but there's something that should be said about that, and that is that in that quote that you just read, he also mentioned the New York Islanders. I think he's just looking for a contract at this point.
The fish sticks can have him.
Yeah,
I will pay his Long Island Railroad fare from Penn Station to Uniondale, gladly. The Islanders can have them.
You know,
speaking
of the Islanders, they signed Biron today.
Did they?
Yeah, Matthew Biron to a one-year contract, which gives them Rolston and Biron as goaltenders.
And a 15-year albatross.
Yeah, I just figured that was worth mentioning because I just saw it on TSN and it surprised me.
Oh, okay. So the Islanders stockpiling goaltenders. All right, let's take a call. We've got 516 area code on the line. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
John.
Hey, John. Hello. Welcome. How you doing tonight?
How are you doing, guys? First-time caller. I'm actually new to your site. I actually posted the article on Heatley a couple of days ago. Rock 1193.
Oh, okay. Welcome. Thanks for posting that up. And as you quickly found out, and just to remind everybody, and I've actually got a little explanation that's going to run on the site tomorrow about this. If you guys have a piece of news that we haven't posted on the site yet, and you want to put it up yourself, go ahead and put it up on a fan post. And if it's something that we think everybody wants to talk about, we'll move it to the main page like we did with John's story on Danny Heatley. So what's on your mind tonight, John?
I'm loving the offseason that the Rangers are having so far. I think that they've addressed a lot of the needs that they were, you know, suffering from. I'm also a season ticket holder, so I went to almost every game this year. And, you know, the one glaring need they had was goal scoring. And I felt that they've done a great job with that. You were saying before, listening to your commentary, that you think that Dubinsky's going to have the number one center spot, and they're basically going to go down the line with Drury, Niemoff, Brian Boyle, so on and so forth. All accounts, and I don't know if you guys, the Newsday did an article with Tortorella over the weekend, and he's saying that they're not done, that they're still looking to, he feels that the team is still thin down the middle, and that they're still exploring other options, whether it's a free agent or whether it's a trade. So, I mean, accounts, it still looks like the Rangers are poised to make another move of some kind. I mean, if you look at the roster, there's just something that's not settling from the perspective of, I don't know, they seem very deep on the wing, now very light in the center. So, you know, just from that perspective, I just wanted your opinion.
I agree with you to a certain extent, but I would, and the problem is that, yeah, and I read that article that you're talking about with Tortorella. That's where he said the motto for this year is shut up and play, which I love.
Right.
But he did say that he thinks Glenn Sather's not done. He's still working on some things. But it all depends on what kind of salary the Rangers can move in a deal, and that's the million-dollar question. You know, they've got it's going to be a big decision. I don't know at this point how far under the cap they are. I don't know their cap position, plus with the leasing deal, I don't know what that adds to it. So I don't know what kind of position they're in to make a trade. Maybe, I don't know, but they could still look for, say, a number two center. Now let's say they keep Brandon Dubinsky and decide, you know, they're going to try him at the number one center position. They may still look for a little center depth and try and go that route and see how it works with Dubinsky, and then get into the season and make a deal from there. But you know, I don't know. I just don't see how they're going to be able to make a big trade without moving salary, and I don't know if anybody really wants to take on the salary that the Rangers want to move. Nobody wants Wade Redden. I mean, the Rangers, nobody, they're not going to find anybody to take him at this point.
Right.
Roosevelt, I think, maybe, but I don't think I don't think there's a good chance of that happening either. So
I think,
you know,
honestly,
really that's what it all boils down to.
No, you're right. Honestly, I think what they're going to wind up having to do with maybe Roosevelt's contract, let's be honest, is probably the, you know, that's not saying much. It's probably the easier of the two contracts to trade. They might have to sweeten the pot. They might have to give up something of value. I'm not saying Dubinsky, but they might have to if they want to make something work. They have an abundant amount of young defense. Now, listen, I don't know who they're going for. I mean, I like Brad Richards as a player. I like him because he's a warrior. I like him because Tortorella's comfortable with him. He's coming off an injury. We seem to be getting a lot of guys coming off injuries. Higgins, you know, and of course, Maverick. So we're getting guys that are coming off injuries that are coming off down seasons. Now, we might be getting them at a good cost because they're coming off poor seasons, hence Gabrick's $7.5 million contracts. But, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing it out there as an idea. But you mentioned before – I'm sorry.
I think that one of the guys that you – when you saw that article written in Newsday, I think, you know, Steve Zippy has mentioned it a couple of times. Patrick Marleau is being targeted by the New York Rangers. And if the Rangers were to make a trade for a number one center – I would hope that it was for Marleau, because, yes, he's going to make $6 million this year, but his contract ends next year. So
right.
If the Rangers have to give away, say, Roosevelt, or, you know, Roosevelt and the rights to Sherdev, they're not really bringing back contracts because Marleau is going to be gone next year. So, you know, you don't have to – there's not cap considerations or anything like that. And from CapGeek.com, I'm coming up with the Rangers at $50 million of cap with me, which means they have $6 million in space, which doesn't really look like it makes sense, but that's what I have. Oh, that's without a sixth
defenseman. That's without Leeson on the board, right?
Yeah, that's without a sixth defenseman, and I took away Voros and Rissmiller's salary, so because I figured they wouldn't be on the team. So we're figuring about $5 million in cap, maybe.
Is that with Gilroy or without?
That is with Gilroy.
With Gilroy? Okay.
Yeah.
All right, John. John, we thank
Thanks
you for
again,
calling.
Guys.
We're going to get to some other calls. Hope you're enjoying the site. We love having you.
We will.
Take care.
Thanks again.
All right, we got a couple other calls online. Guys, we'll get to you in just a second. Joe, my only concern, we've heard Marleau's name a lot since the season ended, and the biggest knock that a lot of people seem to have on Marleau is that he's a soft player. And that's the only, I think that's the main reason why we're not going to see him with the Rangers. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to get Marleau. I don't think they're going to make a move for a center aside from free agency, to be honest with you, because I don't see who they're going to get rid of. But at the end of the day, we'll see what happens. If I could unload a big contract like Roosevelt to get Marleau, I'd probably do it because Marleau is one and done.
Right. No, you're right there. All right, let's take another call. We have Mike from Howard Beach on the line. Good evening, Mike. How are you?
Good evening to you, gentlemen. Good to talk to you again. Great show, as always.
Good to talk to you. We missed you last week.
Yeah, the work schedule and working nights is killing me. I meant to be here, but, I couldn't do it.
With our conversation about Ranger greats, I thought for sure you'd be calling up with Fatiu or Dave Maloney or somebody.
Yeah,
you know,
I think
that's week.
Yeah, John Davidson standing on his head in 78-79. The list goes. I could have taken up the half the show last week, no doubt.
I'm glad you just mentioned John Davidson because you reminded me of another name that I wanted to mention later. So another player. So I'm glad you mentioned JD. So what's on your mind tonight?
Anyway, I know your topic basically tonight, bad Rangers, Rangers you hate, people who brought us down. I know I'm a little early, but again, I got to go to work. First on my list, and he's not even a player, Neil Smith, for destroying what we had in 94. You know, just taking it all away. Not keeping Messier, tops on that list. It bothers me to this day. I mean, I hope we don't go another, 54 years, because I don't think we're going to make it that long, Jim.
But,
no doubt.
But don't we appreciate it more when we only win once every 54 years? That was one. We had one hell of a party in '94, Mike.
Well, that's true. You sound like a Mets fan like me too. I had to stick that in.
Very optimistic.
Now, I understand your point on Neil Smith, and we'll get into this just very briefly because you brought it up, and we don't want to keep you. But Neil Smith, he doesn't get a pass for putting together the 94 team.
I was thinking that too.
Architected that team. That was all him. Most of those guys were brought in via trade, so I kind of give him major props for that.
No, absolutely. I mean, to bring a Stanley Cup after that amount of time, and I was struggling with this as well. What do you say about Bill Parcells? I mean, I think the guy's a traitor, but, hey, he brought us two. So what are you going to
say? That's right. You could argue that Bill Parcells brought the Giants three Super Bowls because Coughlin was one of his disciples.
There you go.
But that's
I like
another,
that.
That's a different conversation. But anyway, Neil, I can't agree with you on Neil Smith. I understand what you're saying. He was, he got too far into playing fantasy hockey and grocery shopping, as I heard him referred to as well. But he did put that 94 team together, and for a guy like me, who was old enough to suffer for a long time and not think that I would ever see a night like I did in June of 1994, I can't be too upset with the guy. He made mistakes. All GMs do. What are you going to do?
No, I get that. I don't know. I think we could have had a mini dynasty there, though. That's what gets me. Just a couple other names. I guess you got to say Scott Gomez. Anybody who kills us while he's with the Devils and then kills us when he's one of our team, I got to hate this guy. What do you think?
I don't know. The Scott Gomez, the wound, it's the wound is too fresh. It's
he's
too soon to, you know how you know how they say that how will history, you know, a president gets out of office and they say it's years before you can really judge his presidency. Well, you know, Scott Gomez, I'm not quite ready to, you know, it was just a bad fit, like I said last week on the show, and I said it the week before, and I probably said it the week before that. He was just a bad fit from day one. Scott Gomez is what he is, and I think he'll succeed in Montreal. And, you know, all's well that ends well. The Rangers did pretty well in that deal in the end. And what are you going to do? All right, Mike, we're going to let you go.
Hey, wait, just one more name real quick. The 70s, the worst backup goaltender of all time, Doug Sotar. The guy was ridiculously horrifying. I must have seen three shots put in from just inside the red line against this guy. Backing up Davidson in particular. And the guy was good with the Canadians. You know, when he was a Stanley Cup champion, for God's sakes, and he just destroyed us.
Mike, the next sound you hear is me crossing Doug Sotard off the list of names that I had for the 8:15 roundtable. So thank you very much. You screwed me again, Costanza. All right, Mike. Thanks for calling in. We'll talk to you next week.
Bye, Mike. Can I make a quick statement on Gomez?
You certainly can.
I don't think Gomez was as bad as everyone is saying he is. You know, Glenn Sather knew when he signed Scott Gomez that one of Scott Gomez's biggest flaws was that he needs superstars around him to be successful. He is a pass-first, pass-second, pass-third, shoot-fourth center. His natural instinct is to pass the puck, and he does it awesome, but... You know, in his first year, he had 70 points, again, in the defensive system. That's what I expected out of Scott Gomez. 70 points is a lot of points. This year was a disappointment, but who was he giving the puck to? There was no Jagr. There was no Straka. There was no Nylander. There was no Shanahan. There was, you know, Nikolai Zverev and, you know, Ryan Callahan. And that's not enough to put up accurate numbers. And I thought he had, a pretty abysmal year. But to call him one of the worst Rangers of all time, I have to disagree, like you said. You know, for starters, it's way too early, but, I mean, you have to give it time.
Yeah, he was just a bad fit.
It was a bad fit, exactly.
It was a bad idea. But anyway, let's move on. We've talked enough Scott Gomez the last couple weeks. Let's get another caller in. 631-673, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio with Jim and Joe. Who's this?
Hey, guys, it's Tim. I've called in before.
Hi, Tim. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm good. Listen,
what's on your mind tonight?
Oh, you've got my head reeling here. First of all, we're starting to sound like
in a good way or a bad way?
Not a bad way. Hey, we're starting to sound like friggin' Islander fans. When are we going to stop talking about 94 and get another cup? I work with an Islander fan. All he ever talks about is the dynasty. It's like, shut the hell up. What have you won lately? How about we take on that tone? How about we get us a cup again? I mean, it must be so nice to be a Detroit fan. Honestly,
I couldn't agree with you more.
Like,
but
Neil Smith, we're going to talk about Neil Smith. Let it go. I want to find somebody to run a power play. That's what I'm worried about. I want to win this year. And to be honest with you, if I had my choice, I would have rather traded Drury than Gomez, because at least Gomez could get the puck to Gaborik. Who's Drury getting the puck to?
But you can't trade Gomez, Drury, because he has a no movement clause.
No,
Gomez could only specify six teams at the beginning of every year that he didn't want to get traded to. Drury has a full no-movement clause. The Rangers can't even buy him out without his approval.
I think
the Rangers would have rather traded Drury, to be completely honest with you. I think that if they could have moved one or the other, Drury would have been the one. But at the end of the day, Gomez's contract would have handicapped the team for longer. And, you know, moving Gomez, I'd rather have Drury gone, but I'm glad that both of them aren't on the roster.
Right. I agree. That I agree with, absolutely. Now, who are we going to get to run the point?
I looked through, remember that cap number I gave you, Jim? I was wrong.
Yeah.
Adding in Dubinsky at $2 million a year and Lyssen at $1 million a year with the assumption that Anisimov, Byers, and Sanguinetti make the team, the Rangers have $2.5 million worth of cap space.
Well,
so,
what are we going to do with old brick hands, Voros? Are we going to send him down finally?
Yeah, I don't see Voros making the team. I think that what you're going to have,
I think what you're going to have quarterback in the power play is Michael Roosevelt again. And, you know, John Tortorella made it very clear that Wade Redden and Michael Roosevelt were the guys who would be given the opportunity to run the power play until they lost it, which, as we've seen, could be 3 seconds on the power play, or it could be the entire year. But know now that day one, October 2nd or 3rd, whenever the Rangers open up the season, when they get on the power play, you will see Wade Redden or Roosevelt pointing that power play until Tortorella decides they can't do it anymore.
Well, do you think Redden has a chance of actually coming back and being a decent player this year?
I do. I think that, like I said on last week's show or the week before, Redden's best games as a New York Ranger were under John Tortorella. He's not a defensive defenseman at all. He's not defensive-minded even in the slightest. And Tom Rennie demanded that he be defense first. And when John Tortorella came to town, look, was he brilliant? No, he was out of shape, but he played a whole hell of a lot better than he did with Rennie. And I'm sorry, but for his contract, if Glenn Sabin's not going to buy him out, let's at least give him a chance to succeed before we throw him into the abyss, and then we have another Tom Pody on our hands, except way more expensive and for a lot longer.
Well, what would it entail us buying him out? We're going to pay for him for the next 3 years, then?
Well, or you could send him to Hartford, and not he wouldn't hit the cap at all, but you still have to pay him. I mean, they're paying him anyway. It doesn't matter. The only way they don't pay him is if they trade him. It's just whether or not he counts against the cap or not.
This is the Garden we're talking about. The same people that run the Knicks, they're worried about paying Redden?
Well, I don't think they are worried, to be honest with you. But I think that, you know, John Tortorella said that Wade Redden is going to have every opportunity to be a number one defenseman. And, you know, if Redden has a horrible first 20 games, I can guarantee you he won't play. But again, that remains to be seen.
I think that's probably true.
I think the thing with Redden, and Tim, we're going to have to let you go. We're going to have to,
no problem.
We're going to get some other stuff. Thanks for calling in. The thing with Redden is he certainly has a lot of room for improvement, but unfortunately he's never going to live up to that contract, and the Rangers are just going to have to hope they can get what they can get out of him. Get some productivity out of him as time goes on. So, we're going to switch gears a little bit, and we want to bring in one of our members of our roundtable tonight. We want to give him a few extra minutes at the top. We want to welcome Steve from NewYorkRangersCast.com. Steve, are you there?
Yeah, what's going on, guys?
Hey, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Pretty
Jim
good.
Jim and Joe,
Blue
Shirt Banter Radio. Welcome to the show.
I appreciate it. I've been listening for about 20 minutes now. Good stuff.
Good. Oh, thank you very much. We appreciate it. We've been doing this a little over a month. And for those of you that don't know, Steve and his partner, whose name, I'm sorry, I just forgot.
It's Eric Rothman.
Eric, they run NewYorkRangersCast.com. They do a podcast, a weekly. You guys do like a weekly podcast.
Yeah, it's actually NYRangersCast.com, and it's during the course of the year we try and do two podcasts a week, and over the off season about once a month or whenever there's information out there.
Okay, and they just did an interview with Matt Gilroy that we posted up on Blue Shirt Banter for you guys over the weekend. So, Matt, welcome to the show, and you heard some of what we've been talking about. Why don't you give us your thoughts on Dubinsky, number one center? What would you like to see the Rangers do as far as that's concerned?
Well, when it comes to Dubinsky, I mean, I've been of the belief that you give this kid a shot. I think that everybody saw what he could do 2 years ago when he was with Jaromir Jagr. He's a big body down the middle. He can create space, and really that's what a guy like Gabrick or a guy like Jagr needed. He can create space and get the puck to the wing and then let those guys do what they're going to do. So personally, I have no qualms about letting him at least try and get that number one position right out of camp. I know that it's a little bit of a risk, seeing as, you know, if he fails at that, I don't think any of us really trust Chris Drury to take up that mantle, and then after that you got Anisimov and who, Arneson or Boyle. But, you know, personally, I like what kind of player Dubinsky is. I like what he can be. I like what he can be under Tortorella, and I think you give him a winger like Gabrick, and he could really excel.
Yeah, I agree. I think most of us are hoping that Dubinsky gets every opportunity to be the number one center. And like I said before, give him the shot. And if it doesn't work out, you know somebody's going to be available come midseason.
Especially, I know you guys wrote about Brad Richards, but especially with the way Tom Hicks is losing money down there and needs to move contract, if he's not available right now, I'm sure that he might be available in the middle of the season at some point. So, you know, I see what happens. But I will say this. I don't know if you guys have talked about this, but I actually wrote a blog about this yesterday. You know, all's too quiet for me on the Dubinsky front. You know, the guy was qualified. He's the only restricted free agent available that the Rangers have outside of Zheredev, which I think is a completely different situation. He's not taking the team to arbitration. I don't really know what's holding up the team from getting a deal done at this point. You're locking up Boyle and Leeson and you know, Callahan, obviously, that you have to. But, you know, to me, Dubinsky, especially with the Gomez trade, becomes maybe the most important restricted free agent to sign, and there's nothing going on there.
Just the one thing I was going to say is that it is alarming because what you said, arbitration, Dubinsky couldn't file for arbitration next year. He's not eligible this year. So what I figured would happen was he would just sign Dubinsky to a one-year contract, you know, give him $2 million, whatever. Dubinsky will put his name on the paper, and then, you know, go through the whole process again next year. What appears to have happened is one of two things. One, Glenn Sather is either taking his time with this contract, which is something he does often. It's his method for signing, you know, free agent or restricted free agents, which I don't approve, but whatever, I'm not the GM. Or there is some type of problem that just, I mean, you know Glenn Sather, he's very tight-lipped, he plays the cards very close to the vest. You know, something could, I guess, feasibly be going wrong. Maybe
he is
angling Dubinsky, but I agree with you. Something is wrong here. I mean, like Jim said before, is it time to hit the panic button? No. But in 2 weeks, if Dubinsky is not on the New York Rangers roster, I think there's a serious problem.
I agree.
Dubinsky's from Alaska, isn't he?
Yeah.
Maybe he's up on the ice roads and Glenn can't get a hold of him.
It's true. It could happen.
Hopefully it's as simple as that, right?
Well, you never know. Now, Steve, one of the reasons why we brought you to sit in with us tonight is because we wanted to do a little roundtable discussion. And just kind of after last week, we interviewed Adam Rader and Russ Cohen, who've written the book 100 Ranger Greats. And they, you know, we got into conversations about who some of the greatest Rangers are. And then we kind of drifted towards some of the obscure names, the infamous Rangers, guys who were just bad as a blue shirt. And I had a little bit of the conversation with the Mouth from Ranger Crisis on his radio show. And we thought we'd continue it this week on our show. We wanted to bring you in and sit in with us. And we're going to bring in, we're going to bring the Mouth on now. Are you familiar with rangercrisis.com, Steve?
I wasn't until you actually turned me on to it, but I've gone back and listened to a few, and it's good stuff.
Eddie has it's a great website. I love his sense of humor, and every time we have him on our show, the whole time he's on the line, he has me laughing the whole time he's on. So then, on Thursday nights, I call into his show, and I kind of let loose, and you know, I try and return the favor and crack him up and throw him off his game. And so without further ado, I believe he is on the line now. Mouth, are you there with us?
Yes, I am. How you doing, everybody?
What's good evening,
hey,
Mouth.
How's it going, Joe and Steve?
How's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. Had the tires changed yesterday. You might have seen those tweets. But
oh, that Twitter, man, that's a beautiful thing. That's just what we wanted to know, that you had your tires changed yesterday.
Yes, and I was the Sea Hag and Wilfred Brimley were there with me. It was great. It was a kooky time, let me tell you.
I'm never going to get this Twitter thing. We got it, too, for the NY Rangers cast now. And, I think it's too much information. I don't understand what the craze is about this, but I guess we got to do what everybody wants to do, right?
Steve, about a month after I started the site, Jim Bankoff, who is the CEO of SB Nation, was down down near me where I live at a conference, and he invited a bunch of the bloggers that live nearby out to a dinner, and we were having a conversation about Twitter because none of us were really into it yet. And I didn't, and at that point, you know, I didn't see the appeal to it. Every time I looked at it, it was just, I'm driving to work. I'm at a red light.
Right.
I'm at work. Yeah, and I just didn't see the appeal. And I said that to him, and he explained it to me like this. And when he explained it to me this way, it made sense. He said, imagine you could hover above the earth and listen to every conversation that was taking place on earth at that time. He says 99.99999% of it is garbage that you don't care about and you wouldn't want to hear, but it's that 0.00001% that could be of interest to you and is what makes Twitter useful.
That's a good point. It's that time that Shaq says, I'm handing out tickets on the street corner, come get them, that you want to be on it, right?
Right. I think it's helped Blue Shirt Banter. We've made some nice connections through Twitter with some great fans. It has brought some people to the site. It's also turned a lot of people on to our radio show, which has gone pretty well in, over the last 5 weeks since we got it started. But yeah, a lot of it's just crap, and I don't. I just.
But you got to be on it. You can't not be on it at this point.
Yeah.
You're in the Stone Age if you're not on this thing.
Exactly. And, you know, the trick is we're all going to just have to be watching out for the next big thing.
Right.
Because something will come out. You know, one minute everybody was on MySpace, and then all of a sudden MySpace was a ghost town. Everybody was on Facebook. Now Facebook's out. I mean, Facebook had a shelf life of like 6 months.
Yep.
Now that's a ghost town, and now everybody's on Twitter. So what's next, you know?
Exactly.
But anyway, Mouth, glad to hear about the tires. I'm excited.
Yeah, Joe, I'm glad you're going to be traveling safely.
Yeah,
yes,
we worry about you.
Safety first, gentlemen. That's the rule to go by, as you know. Holy manoes. I'm just enjoying the conversation you guys are having over here. That's terrific radio. Terrific.
We aim to please. And your show was great last week. We had a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun on there with you and Mandar. And you're on again tomorrow night, correct? 9 o'clock?
Tomorrow night we're going to have Rick Carpinello with the Journal News on, New York Ranger beat writer. That's
very nice.
Good. Yeah, you know, I'm landing all the big-time guests.
I know that. Are you
insinuating that Steve is not a big-time guest? Because I'm pretty sure that Steve is a humongous guest, Mouth.
If Steve is sharing time with me, he can't be that big. No, but I'm only kidding. I listen to Steve's podcast. He does a bang-up job over there, you know. If it's Rangers, I love it. You know, if it's the other teams, yeah, not so much.
I appreciate it, Mouth.
And, you know, we can't get Carpinelli to give us the time of day, and he's coming on your show. I hear he's coming over for dinner. You guys are having potato latkes and a little manischewitz, and we can't get him to take our phone call.
Yeah, well, actually, we're going to have tea and crumpets, but what's with the manischewitz? I don't get this. This seems to be a running theme with me.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. We're getting off track. All right, we're getting off track. That was a conversation we had last week. The manischewitz just happened to flow in my statement there. It just sounded funny in my head. But anyway, so after we spoke to Adam and Russ last week, and then we started, like I said, we had the conversation a little bit on Mouth's show about some of the obscure names in Ranger history, and we wanted to talk a little bit about that. And I'm just going to throw a name or two out, and then I'll let you guys throw some names out. Then we want to take some calls because everybody wants to talk about this.
Can I make a quick disclaimer on my behalf?
Hold on. Wait a minute. Hold on. Before you do, let me give out the number real quick.
All right, go ahead.
646-478-4692. If there's a guy you think is just a nightmare when he was with the Rangers, or if you have an obscure name that you want to throw at us, or if there was a guy you hated him when he played for the Rangers, give us a call, tell us why, and remember, no Wade Redden, no Donald Brashear. Those are the only two rules. So let's hear your disclaimer.
My disclaimer is that for everyone who is listening, I am 20 years old. Remember that when I give my names, because I have to go with what I know, and I'm not going to be able to pull guys from the 70s and such, so I'm going with my realm.
No excuse.
Oh,
no excuse.
No excuse.
They have
Brian Iris. I'm almost 23 here, and I'm pulling out guys from the 70s. So let's go.
Joe, wait a minute. Hold on. You're 20 years old. Mouth and I are well into our 80s, but we didn't have the internet. Ours is all from memory. You have the internet you could use. They have books. I mean, we bought our first yearbook. It was on a slab.
That's true.
Choices that I have are very good, but I will stick with what I have.
Jim, I gotta say, man, as soon as you invited me out to the show, I've literally gone 24/7 looking up names on the internet, reading old books just to be prepared for the show. So that's all I'm gonna say.
Now, see, Steve, that's what I like to hear. You're prepared for the show. When I need a new co-host, you're first in line.
I don't like where this conversation is going.
All right, I want to throw one name out there before Joe, and I know Mouth is going to know this name, even though you two guys might not, and some of the older guys that are listening. Mouth, how about Hardy Astrum?
Hardy Astrum, let me tell you about Hardy Astrum. See, I actually know what these guys actually did, which is pretty pathetic. Hardy Astrum is well known, actually his claim to fame is, he actually stopped the Montreal Canadiens, I think it was 23-game winning streak they had, and he played net up in the Forum as a Ranger, and they
that
beat the
That was his first
Canadiens.
Game as a Ranger, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. That's correct.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you.
So Hardy Astrum, as Bill Chadwick used to call him, yes. That's a pretty good guess.
You like that name? I had thought of that name the other day, and then I forgot about it when I put my little list together. And then when Mike from Howard Beach mentioned JD, it triggered the Hardy Astrum. So, and you can hear my dog Ranger barking in the background. Lovely. So, Joe, why don't you go ahead? I know you've got some names that you're chomping at the bit on. Why don't you?
Do you want me to give all of them, or do you just want me to give a couple?
Throw one, two out there. We can talk about, throw them around, whatever you want to do.
I will start with this guy. This is a guy that I loathe, not because he was awful, although he was, but because John Davidson played this guy up. Every time he made a mistake, John Davidson made it seem like he was Jesus on ice, and that is Jamie Lundmark. Every time Jamie Lundmark would screw up, John Davidson would be like, yeah, but this kid is the real deal. He's going to be awesome. He could play any position he wanted to. And I had this inner burning hatred for Jamie Lundmark.
Poor Jamie. One of the Rangers, first round draft pick in the 99 draft. They had two. Was that the year they had two picks, Lundmark, and was that the year they took Brendel as well?
No, I don't think that was the year they took Brendel.
I thought they
Brendel was in 2000, I think.
Yeah, Brendel was in 2000, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, so did they have two first-round picks when they took Lundmark? Was that the year, or was that a different year?
I don't remember.
I think they actually had two picks, but
My memory on Hardy Astrum is better than on Jamie Lundmark.
I'm reading Aurora right now, so.
Are you taking my advice, huh?
Yeah.
You're right. The Rangers picked Pavel Brendel fourth overall in 99 and Jamie Lundmark ninth.
Gentlemen, thank you very much. Look at that. The memory's not shot yet. Oh, look at that. See, in the chat room, if you're in the chat room, you guys in the chat room should be on your feet applauding me right now. Anyway, thank you. Joe, what other names you got there?
The other names I have, and I have two big ones, and I can explain them both. Anson Carter and Sandis Ozolink are my two names.
I don't know
who takes the cake, but I will say this. Sandis Ozolink had a fantastic regular season. He was a trade deadline acquisition for the Rangers the year after the lockout. And if you would all care to remember, the Rangers were on fire until the final five games of that season. They were clicking. They were playing well. They went into a playoff series against the New Jersey Devils, and Sandis Ozolink scored two goals, and both of those goals were into his own net. And he just completely imploded that team. I felt that his defense was awful, and I truly do blame the entire 2005 season on him.
Yeah, that was just a disastrous trade when they made it, and I really thought that was – that was a good deal at the time. I thought he was going to help them going into the playoffs, and it went really bad. He also in his defense, he was also battling. He was battling some demons when he played for the Rangers. How much that was affecting his game, I don't know, but I know he had an alcohol problem. Yeah, he had some personal issues he was dealing with.
You know, that was a thing. Once again, let me just interject here about Sanders Ozelnik. The guy never was a defensive wizard. He was an offensive guy right from the get-go. And Joe's right. I mean, he scored 2 goals on his own net. And, yes, he had problems. But once again, Glenn Sather thinks we're going to, you know, he's a reclamation project. Bring him to the New York Rangers to solve his problems. This is where you develop problems, not where you go to solve them. That's for sure.
Well, what better place to get off the booze than New York City?
Listen,
really,
there
are no bars available in the New York City area. So.
Listen, no, especially not near the
Garden. Sanders Ozelnik was on my list, too. And I have to say, he had an alcohol problem, but he gave Ranger fans alcohol problems all over the map.
You know, I used to go on the Rangers message board back in a few years ago, and for a long time my little signature was I took the trash out today, but the garbage man wouldn't take Sanders Ozelnik. All right, so we got Ozelnik out of the way. We talked about Hardy Astrom. And now I'm sure you have a couple of names you want to mention.
Well, before I go into this list, I wanted to say that I have kind of an advantage over you guys because I collect vintage video. So sometimes I'll be watching these games from 79 and 80, and these guys that, I mean, they pass through like you wouldn't believe. It's like, I remember that guy. But now I really remember him, so I got a little bit of advantage, and I did
guys
only
like guys like Greg Hickey.
Greg Hickey played one game as a Ranger, brother of Pat Hickey. I don't have that game on tape, and frankly, I'm glad I don't. As far as some obscure names, I went with guys that I actually saw play. You know, I mean, you could go to it. I mean, I really thought of a lot of them. How about, let me give you Jason Lafreniere. Wow.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
That one is from, like Espo era 80s, probably.
Yeah. Yep. I believe, let me see here.
He's not really getting a lot of, you know, he doesn't get a lot of heat, Jason Lafreniere. Not as much as Ozelnik.
88-89.
Yeah,
with the Rangers. Yep.
Yeah, that's, I mean, you want to get a little more current, current in my Stefan Brochu. I don't remember him. Defenseman. Bill LaHead. Tony Feltrin.
Feltrin, I remember.
Igor Leba.
Tony Feltrin, didn't he have a didn't he take a puck to the eye?
That's right, and had an
eye injury there that kind of derailed his career.
That was the end of his career. And Igor Leba, who got traded to the Kings, and he didn't want to leave the Rangers. He was like, I don't want to go. So they had to kind of tell him, listen, you're going to be playing with Wayne Gretzky. And then he was like, okay, I'll go. Pretty funny stuff. As far as guys I hated, jeez, I don't know. Go ahead.
You want to list them alphabetically?
You know, I have more problem with the announcers than I have. You know, like Joe was saying about John Davidson and the promoting these guys. I mean, you know, like I had to listen to the Barrett Heiston hype. I mean, for years, how he showed energy every night. Energy to me equaled he doesn't show up on the scoreboard, so they got to say something good about him. That's what I equated energy with. But, you know, John Bednarski, Dave Pichette, who we had a nickname for, Rob Whistle. That's a great name, Rob Whistle.
Oh, I remember Rob Whistle, sure. Mid-80s, right? Early to mid-80s? Yeah.
Early to mid.
I remember
and
him.
Here's a recent one that cracks me up every time is that Fedorov.
I like that one too. He's on my list actually.
That's during the collection of younger brothers phase, the Marcel Hossa, Fedorov.
Right. We always get the lesser of the brothers, which always cracks me up.
Right. Yeah. Phil Bork.
Joby Messier.
Joby Messier.
The cousin of Marcel Messier.
There was another Richter, too, I think.
Dallas Eakins.
How come I can't think of it? Barry Richter.
Barry Richter, yeah.
Oh, Barry Richter, the defenseman. That's a good get right there.
Yeah, there you go.
He was
Rob
highly
Whistle,
touted.
Rob Whistle played for the 85-86 Rangers.
How many games?
32 games, 4 goals, 2 assists. 10 penalty minutes. He was quiet. He was a good energy. He was a high energy guy.
High energy player was a little bit timid, as we say.
High energy guy. All right.
Here's a great name. Ron Talakowski. Okay. Somebody just mentioned him on the message board. Dead man. He just died a week ago. And I know Joe's going to be like, oh, he's bringing down the show again. But guess what? Ron Talakowski passed away. The guy was only 51. Guy was a football player on skates, one of those Espo jobs. But sorry, Joe, I can't help it. It's cancer.
Hey, I enjoy your presence.
It's everything with me anyway.
You want to tell the cancer story again?
No, I don't want to go down that road again, Jim.
It was not the cancer part, but the Wicked Witch of the West part had me peeing my pants.
I don't want to go that way. Brian Sakic, somebody's mentioning on the board, Brian Sakic had incredible, I mean, out of this world numbers, I think, in the Western Hockey League, and he was Joe Sakic's brother. And, of course, we got to draft him. He's a brother of a famous guy. Guy was a total bust.
Put up 162 points in the WHL in one season. Back 139 points and 162 points. And never got a sniff in the NHL. Didn't play one game in the NHL.
Let's hope John Tavares finds the same future.
The Rangers just traded for Frank Tavares.
Oh,
I have a couple of names that go a little bit beyond my stratosphere here.
All right.
Okay. One of them, I don't know if I'm really going to get agreed with on this one, but Dave Maloney. Dave Maloney.
What? He was captain.
Youngest captain of all time.
You can't have a captain on your list.
I should say that this hatred came from my father, who we would watch the Vault games, MSG Vault, and we would watch some, and every time a big goal was scored, Dave Maloney was out of position, and my father would point it out to me. So just letting he's on my list.
Joe Fortunato's father is a wise man, and I'm going to tell you why.
Because
Dave Maloney was horrible. He actually, on one play, he was on the ice. J.D.
I was going to tell the story, but go, Mal. Go.
All right. On one play on the ice, Maloney's out there. The Rangers get scored upon. John Davidson, of course, is flopping around like a fish out of water. And, J.D.'s, lying on his stomach. And Maloney, who is cheesed off that they've been scored on, gets his stick and whams it, tries to, slap the ice with his stick, but instead he gets the back of JD's leg. I mean, it was absolutely one of the most ridiculous. I've been trying to get footage of that nonsense for years. Jay Maloney was not good by any stretch of the imagination, and I want to say disgrace, but he was terrible. And I tell you, from what I have heard in person, he's not that amiable.
I can dispute that. I'll say that right now. I was working at the Garden. Yeah, I was working at the Garden the last 2 years with Stan Fischer, doing some stuff with him. And Dave Maloney always seemed like a great guy, very amiable to me anyway.
All right. Well, fair enough.
All right, so we disagree on Dave Maloney. I like Maloney, but Mouth would know better because he saw him play a little bit more than I did.
Can I
get my names out here?
Dad.
All right, go ahead. What do you got?
I got a couple obscure ones, but mostly just guys that I really despise. First, this is a guy that I never saw him play, but how about Shell Tripod Samuelson?
Shell Samuelson. You know,
I like Shell Samuelson.
Got his nickname, Tripod nickname, because he used his stick to stand up on his skates.
Well, you know, I had an interesting confrontation with Shell Samuelson. Actually, it wasn't a
confrontation. So did I, actually.
You did?
Actually, yeah, so did I.
Mine wasn't a confrontation. I had met him after a Ranger game, and he was new to the country, and he was like, you know, hey, can you introduce me to some of the new music, you know, American music? So I got him the Bruce Springsteen Born in the USA tape.
Great
choice. I don't know why I find that funny, but that's my experience with him.
It's a great choice. Listen, if there's anything I like as much as the Rangers, it's Springsteen.
So go ahead with your self-damaging story.
Well, I went to high school with a guy who was related to Sam Rosen, and he was a big Flyers fan. Of course, I was a Rangers fan, and whenever the Rangers would go to the old Spectrum, my friend would call Sam, and Sam would set us up with tickets, and then afterward we'd get to go down and meet Sam, and that was how I met JD, and they took us down in between the locker rooms, and I got to meet Bob Froese and a few other guys that played for the Rangers at the time, and a couple of guys that I met for the Flyers. And Shell Samuelson was one of them. And I tried to say hello to him, and the guy practically knocked me in the next week trying to get me out of his way. He could have cared less. The funny thing is, when I used to watch games with my dad, I remember my dad saying the first time he saw Shell Samuelson saying something to the effect of, who is this big dumb oaf just lumbering up and down the aisle? So every time I hear his name, that's what I think of. Who is this big dumb oaf? But all right, Steve, you got another name?
Yeah, I got a couple more. This one, I can't believe nobody's brought this up yet. I know it's not obscure, but probably the worst trade in NHL history was bringing Ken Hodge over for Rick Middleton, who Hodge played 96 games for the Rangers, put up 68 total points, and Middleton went on to play 12 more seasons for the Bruins, 898 points, and 100 points in the playoffs. That's got to be the worst trade in NHL history, so certainly Ken Hodge has to be up there as one of the worst Rangers when you consider everything in there.
Yeah, Kenny Hodge, he was brought in basically to kind of, I think that was Espo putting
was
pressure
Espo, yeah,
on John Ferguson there to get his ex-linemate from the Bruins, and Ken had horrible injury problems. He was out with a bad wrist and those awful uniforms. You're right. It was such a bad trade and a bad era. It really, Ranger fans will never forget that one for sure.
So I got Ken Hodge and then just some personal guys that I couldn't stand. Two defensemen recently. One of them I don't think anybody will debate. The other one, some fans for some reason like this guy, but the first one who I just could not take was Dale Purinton. That guy, to me, I had no idea how he made it past the ECHL, let alone the NHL. I understand he could throw a punch, but most of the time he couldn't get to the guy that he was throwing a punch to. It looked like he had just put on a pair of skates for the first time, you know, that year, 2000 to 2004. I'll never forget there was one time where he was in a poster with Messier, Richter, and Leach. It was Messier, Richter, Leach, and Purinton. And I was thinking to myself, what kind of pictures does Dale Purinton have of these guys that's keeping them not only at the NHL level, but on a poster with those three guys?
Well, actually, I think what happened was they were going to take the picture of Messier and Leach, and Purinton just kind of ran in the room and got in the picture. You know, he kind of Forrest Gumped himself into that poster. I think that's how that had to have happened.
Yes, I mean, it was one of the more obscure obscure, ridiculous things I'd ever seen. And this guy, a lot of people liked him, somewhat of a fan favorite, definitely a favorite in the room. But I just couldn't take Jason Strebick. I thought this guy had almost next to no skill defensively, looked like he was keeping himself up with his stick. You know, I understand all you kept hearing about Strudwick was, well, you know what, he's a great locker room guy. He's going to be a coach one day. I kept saying, well, if he's as good, if he's going to be a coach one day and that's what he brings to the team, then slap a suit on him and put him on the bench because he brings nothing to the team. You look at 05-06, the year where he played, you know, the most time as a Ranger, as one of their top six defensemen. He's the only defenseman that was not plus and plus minus. Roosevelt was plus 35. Malik was plus 28. Pody was plus 16. Kasparaitis was plus 7. Tuden was plus 1. And there you got Strudwick minus 10. How does that even happen? You got to be on the ice with your defensive partner at least the majority of the time. Minus 10 he was compared to the rest of the defensemen. You know, every time they kept re-upping him, I got angrier and angrier. Actually, the first podcast we ever did on NYRangersCast.com, if you want to go back and listen, the first thing I had to get it off my chest, the Strudwick rant, where it went on for maybe about 5 to 7 minutes of just me ranting about this guy.
That's a good one. Yeah, Strudwick, somebody, a couple weeks ago, we were talking about maybe the Rangers getting another veteran defenseman, and somebody suggested bringing Strudwick back, and I'm like, come on, you got to be kidding me. We can't. There's nobody better we can get for – there's no better way to spend $1 million than on Jason Strudwick.
I would relinquish my fandom, I think, if they brought him back for another tour of duty.
Oh, well, you have to get a new website then.
Maybe it'd just be an anti-Strudwick website.
All right, I brought another caller on the line, but I'm going to throw one name out there for now, and then I have a few more that we'll try and get to. We've actually only got 20 minutes to go already. This is going so fast. Here is one of the guys that, to me, this guy is real near the top of the bottom of the list, and that's got to be Stefan King-Powell. That bum, they signed him to a contract, and then I'm hoping that my memory's right on this one. He started bitching that he wanted to go back to Montreal and play for the Canadiens,
yeah.
And the Rangers waived him, and he wound up getting picked up by Chicago, and Chicago had no cap space, so they wound up having to make a waiver wire deal with the Rangers, and the Rangers wound up getting Michael Groshek and some other guy, Brad Brown, I think his name was, or something like that, back in return. But King-Powell,
Big
I always
Brad
hate it,
Brown.
Guys.
That guy could fight. Sorry.
That's okay. But yeah, King-Powell is one of the names I want to make sure we got to. And all right, we got another caller on the line. 702 area code. This should be Avery God. John, are you there?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hi, guys. Hey, John.
Hey, John.
You're
how
on
are
with
you?
Jim?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I've been sitting here for a while, and most of you have thrown out two of the names I was going to say, Jamie Lumbark and Sandy Oldenish. But I got plenty more, because another one I was talking to Jim about this morning was Manny Malhotra. This guy was supposed to be, you know, the future of the Rangers, the next possible captain, and Neil Smith refused to trade him because he had potential and he was going to be the next scoring threat for the Rangers. He passed up deals for Shanahan and Yzerman, and Malhotra ended up getting sent to Dallas for, I think it was Kevin Stevens or Michael Keane, I don't even remember who. Another one was Victor Malakhov.
Vladimir Malakhov?
Yeah, excuse me, Vladimir Malakhov.
I had an inner hatred for Malakhov, I can tell you. And he was actually the next name that was going to come out of my mouth.
And you also
they sign him after
Malakhov
knee problems, and, you know, he never does anything.
He
goes on the IR.
With Malakhov, too, they let Schneider go that offseason to bring Malakhov in. And Schneider went on to, you know, have some great years after that.
Yeah, for Detroit.
Yep.
Malakhov, to me, was just a waste. He comes in, immediately has knee problems. He goes in the IR list, and the next thing you hear is he's skiing up in the mountains.
He
was never hurt. He was obviously one of those players that wanted the money, and he didn't care.
Well, I have a quick Malakhov story. I feel like I'm like a surgeon. I got into it with Russ Salzberg in 1994 on FAN. We had he actually equated the skill level. This is when Malakhov was on the Islanders. He equated the skill level when comparing Leach and Malakhov as dead even. So I, of course, called, and there was a whole brouhaha and such. As you can tell, Russ Salzberg's not a hockey fan.
Well, not only that, but he's not a Ranger fan either. he was pulling for the Devils that whole series in 94. But anyway, I don't want to get Tim mad at us again for talking about 1994.
Yeah, Tim needs a little bit of decaf. Now, I wanted just to say about
okay.
Manny Malhotra, one of the funny things, well, two things he's known for. One is, knocking Kenny Danico's lights out. I mean, he KO'd Danico, brought him to his knees. And second, when Mukla was asked about Malhotra when he was a coach, Mukla didn't even know who he was, which I always remember. He was like, Manny, who? And I think that was pretty much the end of Manny Malhotra in New York.
I have a name if we're looking for one.
Give me one second. John, you got any more? You got another? You got one more name you want to throw out there? Or we got to get?
Well, I was also thinking about when you were listing brothers that the Rangers have drafted. It's not someone they drafted. A Funkrake that picked up in a trade. Wasn't Sean Pronger another one?
Yep.
Another bad brother.
Yeah, another one of the bad brothers. I thought of him. And for Dale Purington, I'm not going to defend him. Yeah, he was a bad player. But, I mean, the man's sole purpose, it's like what Donald Brashear is going to be. His main purpose on the Rangers was to administer death. That was his whole point. Every time he put on skates, he looked like a Neanderthal, and all you ever thought was Purington kill. That's all he was ever out there to do. He was Frankenstein on skates. He was out there to slam people.
I got to agree wholeheartedly with you there because we used to joke that they used to have raw meat in the locker room that he would be eating and he was chained up and he couldn't get to, and then they let him out on the ice. And that's what he was.
They let him out on the ice and he promptly fell over.
Right. He was the Rangers version of Mick Vokoda. I mean, that guy had no skill. He only had one purpose. I mean, so.
Craig Berube. You guys remember Craig Berube?
He used
to play for the Flyers. I remember watching a Rangers Flyer game early in his career, and JD looking at him and saying, "I don't understand what this guy's doing on the ice. He has no hockey skills." And I love that line. He has no hockey skills. All right, John. Thanks for calling in. We'll check in with you again next time. Thanks.
All right.
Take care, Johnny.
All right. We're gonna bring. Let's see. I think we got Paulie D on the line. Paulie, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, guys?
Hey, Paulie, you're on Shirt Banter Radio with Jim and Joe and the Mouth and Steve. And before we get to your names, because I'm sure you got a few, Joe, did you have another name you want to throw out there?
I did have another name, and it's more so for the fact that the Rangers gave up so much to get him than the fact that he was a horrible player. But Yari Curry's stunt in New York bothered me to no end.
I hate that guy.
He had he was older, so you didn't really expect much out of him. I'm looking at it now. He had 50 points in 57 games for the Kings. He comes to the Rangers, and he has a goal and 4 assists in 14 games and does nothing in the playoffs. This is who the Neil Smith gave up so much for. I have hated him since the day he wore a Ranger jersey, and I don't think I will ever stop hating him.
Wow. Such passion from the young Joe Fortunato.
I gotta tell you, Jim, I love this show, man. You guys are the greatest. I want to be a part of this show. This is the best.
Well you are. You're
the whole forum, man. This is just beautiful.
Well, you know,
I kind of had a feeling when I had this idea. I kind of thought this would be fun, and this is fun. I kind of wish that I'd scheduled tonight's show for 2 hours because we're down to 12 minutes left and we could go on another 4 hours. Mouth, why don't you start your show at 9 o'clock tonight and we'll just transition right into your show and you just bring us all right on the line and we'll move right over. It'll be like when Laverne and Shirley used to be on Happy Days, you know, blend it all together.
Crossover episode? Is that what we're up to?
I'll do it anytime, man.
Sure.
I'm setting it up right now.
Just jump around.
When George and Wheaties.
I want to throw this at you.
All right, give us a name.
All right,
go,
I'm going to give you two. To me, most disappointing New York Rangers of all time, Pavel Bure.
What?
See, I have to completely
How many games did the guy play?
I have to completely disagree with you.
You got
to
be out of your mind.
How many games did he play? Jim,
you,
how many games did he play?
You
are you insane?
You
did he play? What did he play? 15 games?
Drug.
You never saw the guy. Here's the other guy. Biggest disappointment ever.
I heard. Insane. I can't even believe I'm listening to this.
Are you?
I mean,
everybody settle down. Hold on. Now, I have this. I out of control. Jeez.
He had 31 goals in 51 games as a Ranger.
That offseason, if you remember, that summer of 2002, that was the most exciting summer the Rangers have had since 97. They because he put up 20 points in the last 12 games after the trade in 2001-2002. Got hurt after that, but he was fantastic. He almost nudged them into the playoffs in 02.
My point being, how long was his contract?
Oh, he is a wild card. He's a wild card. I like that.
How long was his contract? We tried to sign him for an eternity. He played 50 games for us. Didn't he have like a 4-year contract?
Yeah, but his injury, it was because of injuries, and you can't be mad at him for that.
Yeah.
He had 31 goals.
So disappointing. Very disappointing.
No, I have to completely disagree. I think that Pavel Bure, to this day, is one of the best scorers the league has ever seen. Eric Lindros gets this a lot. For the Rangers. I think that they both, if it wasn't for the injuries, and even with the injuries, they had very good seasons with the Rangers.
Very disappointing to me.
I understand.
We had him for forever, and we saw 50 games out of him.
Well, yeah, but that, it was none of his consequence he got hurt. I mean,
he had damaged goods, boys. That was damaged goods. Everybody knew it. I want to throw one more name at you, and I'll leave you alone.
Wait a minute.
Hold on. One of the most disappointing people were Anson Carter.
I said Anson Carter. I agree.
Can you guys hear me?
Anson Williams?
I'm
sorry.
I just want to say on the subject of Pavel Bure, Paulie, I understand what you're saying, but I'm going to disagree with you because he did put up in his limited time, the numbers were there, and B, it was high risk, high reward. His knees were shot. The Rangers were hoping they could keep him healthy, didn't work out. But the bottom line in that trade, why in the end I don't agree with you, is because they didn't give up anything for him. They gave up Igor Ulanov, Filip Novak. I mean, it didn't cost them much.
Say that a second later went around, turned around, and traded Mike York up for Tom Pody, which everybody thought York would have to be included in the Bure deal. So it was one of those, all right, look at that. They managed to land Bure without York, and then a second later you're saying they traded for who? Tom Pody?
Right.
Exactly. Yeah,
that's true.
I
want you guys to understand and take this clearly. Pavel Bure is, like you said, probably one of the most dynamic players that played. When we got him, we had such anticipation. Oh, my God, we have Pavel Bure. What can he do for our New York Rangers? We were excited. We saw 50 games out of the guy. That was my point as far as being disappointing.
Okay. All right, give us your other name because we're down to 7 minutes to go here, and I still got to get a couple of names in.
What about Momesso? Did anybody mention him?
Momesso?
Sergio Momesso. Here's my only thought on Sergio Momesso. I'm indifferent to him otherwise. I could care less. I remember going to a game when Momesso was on the Rangers, and I was sitting upstairs in what used to be the blue seats, and there was this guy sitting next to me, and every time Sergio Momesso stepped on the ice or touched the puck, this guy would just yell out, "Momesso, pack your bags!" And he did it the entire game. I had my ex-girlfriend
that
with me.
That was me!
It could have been. It was the first hockey game she'd ever been to, and the whole ride home, she just kept saying, "Momesso, pack your bags!" So that's my Sergio Momesso story. That's my entire bit on Sergio Momesso. All right, Paulie, you got any more names?
That's it. I'm not going to bother you, man.
I just scheduled the show for another hour.
Hey, I'll hit that show, absolutely, and I'll banter a little more.
you know,
Jim, it's always a pleasure, man.
Thanks, Paulie.
Thank
you. Well, you know, Mouth, I would say we continue this tomorrow night on your show, but you know, you got Carpinelli and Messier and Leach coming on.
Oh, no.
And
Messier,
ghost,
I mean, Gretzky.
The ghost of Fred, maybe. the ghost of Fred Shiro is going to be on. And
oh, how do you know about the ghosts I'm going to have on tomorrow? Ghost of Walter Cronkite is going to introduce me. It's going to be great.
All right. Joe, do you have any more names? I know you had a long list.
Well, I was thinking about a couple of guys that the Rangers had that I truly hated. And, you know, I don't think, you know, we've mentioned Holik. What about Kostopoulos?
Oh, kill my heart.
I mean, like, when I think about him, I actually get angry that he exists.
Why?
I never liked him. I hated him.
Why? You're in bad territory.
I'm in bad territory?
You're in a bad neighborhood.
I'm in a bad neighborhood? Well, I'm just letting you know, that's the way I feel.
I'm not saying nothing.
Kotze's Corner.
Let's agree to disagree. I think he's one of the good guys out there. I love him.
He's a good guy. I've emailed him on a couple of occasions. He's a nice guy. He runs a good blog, Kotze's Corner. If you haven't checked it out, give it a look. All right, Steve, do you have any more names you want to throw out?
How about Sylvain Lefebvre?
I had him on my list.
Well, it wasn't that bad. Signed for, what, 4 years, $10 million, and at one point in his stint, he gets sent down to Hartford. He was so bad.
But that is not his problem. It's the management who gives these idiots the contracts. I'm talking about how they play on the ice.
Yeah, how he played on the ice was not great either. The guy was plus 128 before coming to the Rangers.
He was minus 20
in his 4 years.
What are you watching every play to see if they get the Emory Edge Award? I mean, seriously.
The guy played 15 games in Hartford in 2001-02, and he had 7 total points in his last 2 years on the contract. 7 points in total.
Promise me you're going to call my show tomorrow. I could argue with you for hours. It's so fun. It's absolutely hysterical.
I'll give it a shot, Matt. 9 o'clock tomorrow night?
Yeah, 9 o'clock. I'm sorry. I forgot what show I was on. Go ahead.
That's okay. I had Lefebvre on my list, but he was towards the end. Joe, do you have one more name you want to throw out?
Give me one second.
I'm
going through my list.
No, we don't
have Willie Huber.
I mentioned Willie Huber last week on Mouth's show. All right. Mouth, you got one more name you want to mention?
Well, I go with the obscure guys. I mean, you know, Stanislav Netcash.
Stan Netcash. He was another guy who came from the Rangers AAA team in Phoenix.
Right. Richard Scott. You remember him? He was a fighter, redheaded guy. Eric Cairns knocked his lights out and it ended his hockey career. Daniel Gonneau,
the guy had the biggest nose I've ever seen.
We call him Daniel Gonneau's. That's what we used to call him.
I guess if I had to choose someone, I'd go Bruce Driver.
That's how I was going to close this roundtable before we have to say goodnight. No, it's okay because my finish here was I took a page out of the original Batman movie when Jack Nicholson says to Michael Keaton, "You never rub another man's rhubarb," and the Rangers tried to rub the Devil's rhubarb way too many times. So I got a list here: guys that played for the Devils that came to the Rangers and were just terrible. Give me Joe Sorella,
Mozzarella,
Bruce Driver, John McClane, before he started doing those Die Hard movies, Mike Dunham. And Bobby Holik.
What
about Scotty? Don't forget Scotty Gomez.
I cannot believe no one mentioned Mike Dunham. Another guy that I just have an inner hatred for is Mike Dunham.
Joe, you are my Rangers soulmate.
I hate every guy you hate. I hated Dunham on the street.
I punch him in the face. I'll never forget.
You guys remember Rick the retirement night? What a great night that was! And then they go out and they lose 4-2 to the Wild. And I don't think Dunham should have. I don't think there was one goal that Dunham shouldn't have stopped there. Every goal was from center ice. Those goals were coming.
No, Dunham might be my least favorite Ranger of all time. I just
Oh, I don't even know.
It was
I
a horror show.
He was terrible. All right, we might have to do this again next week. I don't know. I don't know. What do you guys think? We'll maybe do this again next week?
Yeah, sure.
Sounds great to me. We could take this foursome on all the different shows. How about that?
There you go. Yeah, and we could do, well, here we go again. We could do bar mitzvahs and
here we go.
Parties.
Maybe we could replace John Amarante for a little bit of, on one of the nights, a little bit of national anthem.
I say doing this again would be good because another hour and a half would be nothing.
All right, so there we go. There you have it. Next week we will do part two. We'll bring Steve back. We'll bring the mouth back if they'll have us, and we'll do this again. We have 35 seconds left, so let me get to a few plugs. Make sure you check out Steve over at nyrangercast.com. Make sure you check out the mouth at rangercrisis.com, and he's doing his show tomorrow night at 9 o'clock. Mouth, Steve, thank you guys so much. This was a blast.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The fastest hour and a half on the internet. Guys, also check out Beyond the Blue Shirt. Lori does a great job. And good night, Joe. Always a pleasure, and we'll see you next week.
Yep, goodbye, guys.
Good night, everybody.
You.